food prices have increased over 40%. Energy increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 9 March 2022. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. You are in for a very special treat tonight. I promise you are. I know a lot of y'all have been praying for this young lady I'm going to bring up in a couple of minutes. My granddaughter, Allison Grace Paul, and y'all know that we asked special prayer for her many times over the last several months. And I want to tell you that our God, our Heavenly Father, has heard our prayers and answered our prayers. So we're going to share her testimony and her story just a minute. Don't go away. Like a couple announcements here. I will be in the office tomorrow, Lord willing, between 9 and 4 Eastern. Take your phone call. Just say hi to you if you want to call and place an order or check on something. I will say this, too. Our answering service, Lisa, y'all know what I'm talking about, answers our phone calls on her cell phone and takes notes for us whenever somebody calls. Well, if you called this week, you may have to call back tomorrow and talk to us if you listen tonight because she dropped her phone in the dishwater. And the phone obviously doesn't work any longer. So if you called this week, and please call tomorrow if you would, and refresh your memory what you called about because she lost her phone in the dishwasher or dishwater. And she has a new one, but that information on the old one's gone. So you can call us tomorrow if you want to talk about order book, chaplains and clergy of the revolution. If you want to talk about ordering some REM sleep, whatever you want to talk about, folks, you call tomorrow at 800-777-4403. If you have long distance, you can call us at 304-846-4448. That's 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And prayer question tonight for our brother Daryl in PA. Y'all know who Daryl is. He calls in the program quite often. Daryl had a stroke some years ago on his right side and is pretty much immobile. And he loves to type. He loves to spread the truth and spread news to everybody. He's having a hard time, folks, typing and getting this message out. So maybe pray that the Lord touched Daryl's body enough to give him his right hand some use. And if not our Father's will, pray that he'll give Daryl the courage and the faith to continue, because I can only imagine, folks, what must be like to, if you're right-handed, especially, to lose that ability to move and do what you used to do. So keep Daryl in your prayer, please. And also Johnny. Johnny's now out of the ICU and in a regular room, but he's not by no means out of the woods. So keep Johnny, Crystal's daddy, in your prayer, please. And, of course, her mommy Judy, too, because, believe me, when your husband or your wife's down, you're in it also. So keep those in your prayers, please, also. Now, thank you for the delay. I'm going to bring up a very, very pretty young lady, just turned 18, a pretty blonde lady. And when she wants to be, she can be just as sweet as peaches. I'm going to tell you that right now. So you guys watch out, okay? So anyway, Allison Grace Paul is my 18-year-old granddaughter. And I'm so proud of her right now and so thankful. And I say proud in the Lord, not in flesh, but in the Lord. and so thankful that she's come so far in Christ. Allison, are you there, sweetheart?
Yep, it's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. More than I can tell you, sweetheart, this is such a blessing to have you on tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I've been praying for you for a long time. Boy, do you owe me a good dinner.
All right, we'll see.
Tell the folks a little bit about yourself, Allison. And tell somebody doesn't know you. You're 18, we know that already. And you graduated school this year. What else do you want to share about your background before we get started in testimony tonight? Anything you want to share?
I've grown up in Colorado my whole life. I have three amazing brothers, two amazing parents. And I just love now to read my word and spend time with the Lord. And I like to be active and play soccer and do things like that.
You played soccer, well, most professionally for a while when you were in school, didn't you? You were really good at it. You enjoyed it, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. See, she learns. Called me sir now, not papa. See, she's learning. So tell us about in your younger life, honey, what got you going the direction you finally ended up going for a while? What take a little bit of time and tell us, when did it start? When did you start thinking about wrong things and then eventually doing wrong things?
Yeah, growing up, I had really amazing parents, and everything was good. They're really excellent examples of Christ, but at a really young age, probably around 7, I was introduced to some pornography while at a friend's house, and I developed an addiction to it, and it just formed sexual patterns in my life and addictive tendencies. And as I grew older, those things evolved into more dangerous lifestyles. So,
7 years old, and you become addicted to pornography. Folks, that's how dangerous that stuff is. That's how dangerous that demonic activity is. It can addict anyone at 7 years old. My goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, when did you? Well, what did you think when you first saw it and when you got into it? What was your thought processes?
I don't know that I remember specifically what I was thinking, but obviously our bodies have reactions to sights and stimulus like that. So I knew it was wrong. I didn't necessarily know why, just being so young, but I also knew that it was something that contained pleasure for me when I did watch it. But I did know it was wrong, and it did make me feel gross and dirty and things like that. But at such a young age, I didn't necessarily understand why.
Well, it made you feel gross and dirty. How did you react to that whenever you felt had those feelings? How did you react to it?
I don't know that I necessarily remember how I reacted to it, but I did. I know that I felt a deep sense of shame about who I was and that just something was wrong, just really deep, deep feelings of shame that continued to affect me throughout my teenage years.
But you couldn't shake the addiction?
No, I couldn't, no.
And I'm asking this question, I already know the answer, but did you really try hard to shake it?
I don't know that I necessarily knew how to at such a young age, but my addiction lasted for so long that after coming to know the Lord, it's something that I had to fight to not do. But growing up, it was just, I was so ununderstanding, and then as I grew up and I became more sinful in my flesh, it's something that I didn't try to stop because I didn't see a reason why.
You know that you're talking like with the wisdom now of a 35, 40-year-old young lady. You know that, right?
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say.
Well, you are, and you know what you went through was terrible, awful, unbelievably terrible and awful, but nonetheless, you're letting the Lord take it in your experience, and helping other people with that. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do, sweetheart. Whenever you do something that you know is immoral and wrong and you're forgiven for it, you can take your personal experiences and tell other people about the pitfalls, can't you?
Right. God takes the evil things and he turns them for good in his glory. So.
Amen. Amen. So once you started realizing that you were kind of, I guess you say, hooked on this, what sort of step did it lead you into? You're 7 years old. I mean, what do you know about relations like that? I mean, how did you handle that?
Right. Well, I remember my parents finding out, and I was just super ashamed and embarrassed. And, of course, I had known I'd done something wrong, but also being so young, my parents also understood that in a way it wasn't in my control. But I remember my mom telling me that what I saw wasn't real, and that kind of confused me just because I didn't understand necessarily what sex was or things like that. But growing up, it formed tendencies in me to be more sexual or make sexual jokes or be sexually promiscuous. And it just became a normal thing when in all reality it shouldn't be.
So you didn't understand that these people were acting.
Right. I didn't understand at all because I saw it and it looked so real. But now I understand that it's disgusting and fake and act.
Wow. Okay, sweetheart. You're doing a great job so far. I want you to continue now with the progress that on the road you got on and how Satan led you down this path. I want you to continue and share with the listeners what come next. And remember, you're talking to some people in life that probably need to hear this, that maybe are involved in the same thing. And if you are out there, folks, tonight, we're here to help you. We want to help you. I know Allison does, and I do too. So if you're out there, if you're involved in something like this, yeah, we're feeling the shame is normal, but also there's forgiveness for it, if you ask. But you go ahead and progress a little further and tell us more about how it led to other things.
Okay, yeah. I struggled with pornography addiction all the way into my junior high years and even beyond that. But in the eighth grade, I started hanging around with people who were just really worldly and supported things of the world, such as homosexuality and abortion and things like that. And these people were weed smokers and sexually promiscuous themselves. So this behavior influenced me into trying things such as vaping and marijuana usage around my freshman year of high school. Also drinking some alcohol, stealing my parents' alcohol, things like that. And with my addictive mindset and patterns that had been formed in my brain already, trying marijuana immediately, I was very addicted to it and would do anything to get it. I would steal. I would become aggressive, just really awful, horrible things, whatever I had to do just to kind of catch a high.
And this started at about what age?
I was probably 13 or 14 years old.
Wow.
I'd say 14 for the marijuana use, but I had drinking at 13.
Were the drugs easy to find?
Because of the group of people that I surrounded myself with, yes, they were. And I ended up getting in trouble at school for some of my drug usage while at school. And my parents did everything they could, so they switched me to another school where I could get some help because I was just out of control. But at this school, I immediately found the worst people, and it made my drug access even wider.
And where did the drug come from? How did your friends get them?
From drug dealers that they had known, just wherever they could, they'd get it, and they'd have a surplus of it. I don't know the exact details of where they got it, but they got it, and then they would sell it to me.
And what percentage of the young'uns in your school do you think were involved in this?
I'd say at my public school, maybe 10%, 15%. I'd say there's maybe 20, 30% who tried it every once in a while, but for people who are using it often in excessive amounts, I'd say it's maybe 15%, but I don't know.
Well, it wasn't free, was it?
No.
How do you get the money, sweetheart?
Unless you had friends in the right places, quote unquote.
But did you?
At times, yes.
And how did you get the money otherwise?
I would steal or lie or cheat or manipulate, just whatever I had to do to get money to obtain drugs.
Wow. You know, I have to say this, and I know that I'm your grandpa, but I really admire your courage for sharing this. I mean that, sweetheart. I really admire your courage and your spiritual growth in the last few months. I admire that highly in you. So you would steal, finagle, lie, whatever you had to do to get money for drugs.
Yes, sir.
And what other, I know you said in your testimony at school, in the eighth grade you started getting involved in these things. And how far did it lead you down the sexual way?
Right. So I'd say around 14, I was probably 15, I began just doing things with other guys. The Lord really protected me from a lot of that. But I did begin experimenting, but I wasn't involved in intensely sexual relationships until 16 years old.
16 years old.
I'd say my late 15 years, and at 16 I was heavily involved in a relationship based around sex.
With one person or many people?
With one person, but he wasn't the only person I had ever been with in my whole life.
And what were your feelings spiritually and mentally and physically at this time?
I think I had strong desire to be loved and to be seen and to be noticed. And he kind of filled that for me, but I was nothing but a sexual object to him. But due to that, I really fed into that and made sure that my looks were always exactly where they needed to be, and I really built up this sexual persona for myself. And the more that I did that, the more attention and affection I was gaining from this guy. So I continued to build up a sexual persona, and as this happened, I got more attention from other guys and things like that. So it just continued to escalate, because the more I did that, the better that I looked, the more sensually I talked or behaved, the more attention I got. So I continued to do more.
Well, I know that you weren't lacking for love at home. I know that wasn't part of the reason this happened. Why do you think that you felt this need to have this kind of attention?
I'm sure that the pornography played into it. And then I just had such desire for love in a romantic way. And sex seemed to be the best way I could get it. And after I began having intercourse with this man, I did become addicted to the feelings as well. Through that, having an addict's brain, things like that are really easy to get addicted to. And I just loved the thrill of it and also the pleasure that was associated with it.
Wow. And you said man. It wasn't someone your age?
Yeah. No, sir.
Somebody older than you?
Yep.
And if you don't mind, how much older than you?
Over 10 years older than me.
So he was an adult?
Yes.
Wow. My goodness, I admire your courage. I really do, sweetheart. I want to thank you for sharing from your heart tonight, because somebody nice listening to this program that's going through the same situation. And a little bit, folks, we're going to get from this side, we're going to get to the good part, what Christ can do for you. So from eighth grade there on about, you were pretty much wrapped up in this lifestyle until when? What happened? It started getting you out of it. What happened?
Well, my behavior and drug abuse continue to escalate. So I'd say after about a year and a half of using marijuana and alcohol, I began experimenting with hard drugs, which led to some deep addiction to some hard drugs.
Now, I don't know anything about drugs, to tell the truth. What is a hard drug?
So I began using hallucinogens, which make you hallucinate really hard. I'd use them in really heavy amounts very, very often. I began using cocaine. I also became heavily addicted to prescription medications such as Xanax and oxycodone.
How did you get that?
Just from some bad people that I met through an occupation that I had.
Oh, okay. Where you used to work, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, during all this time, going through all this, I know that deep down mm-hmm. inside you knew there's something wrong, right?
Yes. But I think that I just pushed that so far down and so far away. There was never really a moment of my life that I was sober for about 8 months leading up to the point where Christ entered in. From the moment I woke up to the moment I went to sleep, I was high, especially in the 3 or 4 months before Christ intervened. I was always high on some substance or another and deeply addicted to hard drugs and very close to dying, honestly. So,
well, how much did this affect your life with your family and your friends, your good friends? How ones that you knew were good people. How did it affect the family and your brothers and your mom and dad?
Right. It really destroyed their lives in a lot of ways. Really set horrible influence on my younger brothers. I horrified them because of violent outbursts that I had, some of which I don't recall because I was on substances, but just really destroyed their life, destroyed their perception, could make them more inclined to use substances in the future, and horrified them. Didn't have a stable home. I was kind of a tornado that ran through the house. Made my parents' lives just horrible because they were worried about me dying. They didn't know if every time I went out, if I was going to come back or if I was going to die. I was horrible in the way that I treated them, and it just really wrecked their lives. And when you're an addict, it doesn't just affect you, it affects people around you, and it really shattered their lives in a lot of ways.
You know, I did a teaching at church a while back entitled S-I-N, Sin. That stands for Self-Indulgent Narcissist. It's all about me. Don't care about anybody else. Is that a good way to put it?
Yep, definitely.
It's all about you and you getting your next high and getting your next thrill. So sin is a very selfish thing, folks. Sin is totally self-centered, selfish. You become a narcissist. You don't care if it destroys your family, if it destroys your friends. You don't care because you're wrapped up in the arms of Satan. So anyway, this is... folks, if out there tonight listening and you're going through this, we want to help you. Okay, so when did it finally come to the point that something had to be done?
Right. Well, I'd say in the month or two before I was led to know Christ, I was really desperate for high amounts of money for drugs, so I began putting up inappropriate photos of myself online and meeting with older men for money, and I was using heavy amounts of pills and cocaine, and I was losing weight very rapidly. I was frail. I was getting sick constantly. I was using drugs in high amounts. Truly a miracle, praise God, looking back, that I didn't overdose. Then one night, in the middle of the night, I had plans the next day to get money, to get drugs and things like that. My parents came into my room and they said, "You're going to a 15-month boarding school." I said, "No, I'm not." I started freaking out. And then two strangers came in my room, put me in a car, and I was on my way to a place called Teen Challenge.
And how did that feel? What did you think when that was going on?
When that was happening, I was kind of in shock, I guess you could say. I was very concerned about seeing this boy that I was just so infatuated with. I was just concerned about seeing him, and I was concerned about my ability to get drugs. But I was just in shock. But I had this strange feeling, and I had heard about Jesus my whole life growing up, and I know I knew him as a young girl. But I had this strange feeling of hope, and I remember telling my mom on the way there that I felt like it was God. I just had this strangest feeling of hope. And for me, that was completely out of character to say. So it's very interesting to look back on now that the Lord has changed my life.
Amen. Amen. And when you first got to the school, what was your response to being there? How did you handle it?
I went a little crazy. I was threatening the people there. I was saying, I'll do whatever I have to do to get out of here, things like that. And this facility is not a facility where the staff members will put their hands on you or anything like that. And it's a very calm facility. There's not girls really ever acting out. You're not allowed to use foul language. You're not allowed to talk about inappropriate things. It's a Christ-centered based environment with amazing female staff who are servants of Christ themselves. So I was just acting crazy, and they didn't really know what to do about it. But out of nowhere, I'd say after about a week of being there, something in me was like, fine, I'll stay for 3 months, then I'm going to get out of here and go to a different program. But by 3 months, the Lord had captured my heart. So,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is such beautiful words to hear. Truly is, he captured your heart. That's a good way to put it, darling. That's a good way to put it. Hallelujah. So when you first, and you come to your senses, so to speak, and realized that you want to stay there, tell me, how was the withdrawal from the drugs? How did that work out? How did you get all that put together?
Well, I think the Lord really comforted. He helped me through that, even though I wasn't near to him at all. To be honest, I think I was more worried about the boy than the drugs. And my consistent pattern with my drug use was I would go very hard on cocaine and pills for 3 days, completely black out, not remember it really at all. Then I'd take a recovery kind of 3 days where my body would be regaining. I would be sick with colds in the months leading up to going to this facility after I used cocaine for the weekend, just because my body was so sick and tired. I ended up going into my facility on a Thursday, and Monday was the last time that I used cocaine and pills. So.
Okay, hang on through the break. Got another half hour to go, folks. If you want to call and talk to Allison, you certainly may. A lot of you all prayed for at 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Love to hear from you.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best store foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Namana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch to get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we'll get to your phone calls in a few minutes, I promise. Go ahead and fill the lines up. We want to hear from you. We'll get all your phone calls. We really will. 844-769-2944. Allie's mamma walked back in the studio here while we was on the radio, on break there and talked to Allie, but she had tears in her eyes because she'd been touched so great. And that is wonderful. That is wonderful. I just want to say. But anyway, Allie, we're back to you were in the facility, and you were on drugs on Thursday, and got off from when?
The Monday before I went in was my last day of hard drug usage, but the Tuesday, Wednesday, and even my first couple of days in the facility, I was on marijuana. I had snuck a device in there to be able to use marijuana, but the Lord got me busted within 5 or 6 days. So, praise God.
At the facility?
Yes, sir.
Really? They didn't kick you out?
Nope. They were patient with me, and praise God, and they just took it from me. And continue to hold me accountable from there.
And how were the withdrawals?
I think that I took the brunt of them the Tuesday and Wednesday before I ended up going into the facility. I remember having a cold, and I was so very frail and skinny at the time. It was just, I had a cold and just not feeling well at all, and I didn't have much of an appetite at all in my month of drug use, which added to the game, the weight loss. And, I think I took the brunt of it the days going in. I think by the time I had arrived, I had gone through the brunt of the physical, but it was more of the mental, withdrawal and cravings for substances.
Well, now, so when did you start sensing a turnaround in your spirit and your mind and in your body? When did you start sensing that to change? Was it after 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 weeks? When did you start sensing that?
Well, I have some specific moments that I remember. When I first arrived to Teen Challenge, the staff, all of them there, are godly women, servants of Christ themselves, and the way that they loved on me so well affected my heart in a tremendous way. And the facility, we read the Bible daily. We have sermons and worship often. And I remember one day during choir, I was determined not to change when I first got there. I remember even saying some horrible things, such as, if I have to worship the devil to not change, I will do so. I was just determined not to change, to live in my flesh, but within 2 or 3 weeks, the Lord had grabbed my heart, and thing by thing, he started to break down those walls. And I remember one day during choir, I was singing this song, and my heart immediately, praise be to God, was just so soft to the things of the Spirit, and I would just cry. And during worship, I would have to walk to the back and just cry, and I would say to some other girls, like, man, Jesus is coming for me, because my heart just immediately was so touched and softened and grasped by the Spirit. And day by day, week by week, I fell madly in love with Jesus Christ, and he transformed my life from the inside out.
Hallelujah. You're going to make me cry if you don't quit. You know that. I'm about ready to cry myself. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, are you listening to this with your heart, not just the ears? Are you hearing this in your spirit? This young lady was transformed. She came out of the flesh, which leads to death, come into the spirit, which leads to life. She was translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the light of Jesus Christ. This is what happened to my granddaughter, my oldest son's daughter. You know, when your daddy was a little fella, he was always tenderhearted to the things of the Lord, too. I remember that. He always was tenderhearted, wanted to know about the Lord, because he was raised, of course, in church 4 or 5 times a week, because I was pastoring 2 churches. So we tried to raise him in the fear of the Lord, and I think he's done a pretty good job to stick that way. But you now, through your mistakes, your wrongdoings, have learned a lesson that you can share with other people for the rest of your life. And I don't know where God's going to lead you with this. I don't know. But you got a calling now in your life, Miss Allie. You do. You have a calling in your life. The Holy Spirit's leading you into doing something very special for the glory of your Father in heaven and for those around you. Now, I've got to get phone calls. Folks, you bear with us. I'll get with you in a minute, I promise. 844-769-2944. So when did you really start digging in and get hungry for the things of Christ?
Right. Well, I think within 3 weeks, I was like, okay, I've got to give my life to Christ. And I remember waking up the next morning and being like, well, I still want the same thing, so I don't know what that was for. But the Lord, day by day, changed my heart. And I'd say around 3 months into the program, I developed an insatiable desire for the Word and the Bible, and just to read it and dissect it. And I would read my Bible often, all the time. And the further that I got along, it's a 15-month program, the more I would read my Bible. And I would have this insatiable desire of, I need to read my Bible, I need to read my Bible. It was fascinating to me, and the Holy Spirit gave me ability to understand it. And whenever I had questions, those godly women that were on staff or trained in the Spirit would help me understand, and they were patient with me when I failed, and they taught me how to live and walk like Christ. And the more I read the Bible, the more I fell in love with Jesus, and I would crave worship time. I would crave to watch sermons. I would crave to talk about God, crave to talk about the Bible, all things that are not of the flesh but of the Spirit. And even now that I'm home, I have cravings to read the Bible, cravings to watch sermons, cravings to listen to worship music, and just to spend time with Jesus. I went from someone who could not stop thinking and talking about things of sexual nature and drugs to someone who was enthralled with my love for Jesus and enthralled with Bible, and who could not stop talking about Jesus, who could not stop talking about the things of the Bible, to the point where other people would even comment on it. But it's such a blessing to be called things like Jesus freak or whatever. Like,
amen.
It's exciting
amen.
For me.
Well, we got to get the phone calls. I promise, folks, we're coming. Don't go away. How has this changed your home life now?
Yeah, my relationship with my family is so different. I could get emotional even speaking about it, but my mom is now my most intimate and closest friend. Me and my father have renewed and restored relationship, and he's just such an amazing man of God. And my younger brothers and I have completely different relationship where we enjoy spending time together, and hopefully I lead them in how to live like Christ, and they can see firsthand the transformation of my Christ, my family, because they saw me at my worst, and now hopefully they can see me at my best living my life for Christ. So,
wow.
Completely transformed. Nothing's the same.
I mean, this is just exactly what folks we need to hear. Now, I will ask more questions. We're going to go to phone calls. What are you doing now? What are your plans right now? I know you go to work Monday. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And what kind of job you got?
I'm going to be a paraprofessional at an elementary school, so help some kiddos learn.
You talking about learn like the ABCs or spiritual growth or both? What are you talking about?
So it's at a public school, so it's not spiritual, but I help them learn academically. But my other plans are I go to Bible college in August, and I read my word often and just trying to fall more in love with Jesus, but he's not hard to love, so... He loves quite a bit. Make me emotional because he's just such a kind, kind father.
Aren't you glad that he loves us enough that he suffered all of your disobedience and all of your willful sinning, and he still was waiting with his arms wide open? Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. Luke 7:47-48. Says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven only little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And that hits me because I know my sin was so deep. But through his suffering and his wounds, I'm healed and I'm brought to life. So all the thankfulness and love that I have should be poured out on him. And he's forgiven me for so much, and he still loves me so much. So all the more should I love him and glorify him.
Amen. Wow, what a testimony. My golly, what a testimony. All right, we got to get some phone calls. People going to think I lied to them. And, folks, I never lied to you. I don't purpose anyway, but I had to get this testimony out. I want people to hear this. I want you to know what Christ can do if you just ask. I want you to know that no matter what you've done in your life, he's ready to forgive you, heal you, guide you, lead you, protect you, teach you, and love you for eternity. All you got to do is ask. Ask. And Allie, one more quick question. Is it worth asking?
Oh, yeah. There's not a single thing that I've given up for Christ that I regret. And his love,
amen.
Once you take the sweetness of his love, everything.
All righty. I just got a text, by the way, from a lady out of Michigan. The name is Julie. She's in tears. She said, listen to your testimony. I want you to know that. So you're touching people's hearts. All right, let's go now to New Mexico, right next to you, and let's talk to Mick. Mick, welcome. Come on in.
Hey, Butch.
Yes, sir.
Now then, I'm not sure if she knows this, but I don't think that was marijuana she was using. Marijuana does not do no such thing. Now, if you're not familiar with the movie called Reefer Madness.
Yeah, I know of it, yes.
Don't watch it, unless you want to be hypnotized.
So you think they had it on something stronger?
There are stronger drugs out there than marijuana. Marijuana is not even a drug. It was turned into it by the Rockefellers. And see, the Hearst family. Why? They wanted to make money off of trees and oil. That's why.
Well, that's part of it, sure. I know that'd be true. But I know that with her, I guess it was a starting way somehow to get her wanting a little bit of a high. But her testimony, would you agree her testimony is very powerful?
Oh, yes.
And I'm at the most powerful testimony I've ever heard from anybody, especially 18 young lady. Mick, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We're going to run out of time very quickly. I've got to move on real quickly. Let's go to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Good evening, Pastor. How's your sweetheart? Her shoulder feel better?
Right now she has a problem with shingles. But anyway, she'll be all right.
I want to say to Allie that God never left you. From the age you were 7, all that you went through, he was always there. And you finally opened yourself up and said, hey, this is what I want. And I'm so glad to hear that you have made it. I am so glad. And you are going to be a powerful, powerful spokesman for God. Because when these other children, when you find someone who is going through any of what you went through, you are going to say, I know what I'm saying because I've been there.
Amen.
It's not just someone saying, this is here, God forgives everything and you can be forgiven. You're going to say, I am proof.
Amen. Right. You want to say anything? You want to say anything to her?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. That's so kind of you. And I hope to spread the good news to the nations and to whoever he commands me to do so. And I am, by the grace of God, proof of his love and his forgiveness and his power. So thank you so much.
I will tell you, by the way, Allie. Well, tell you, Allie, by the way, Jan was praying for you. She told me more, she mentioned to me more than once, wondering how you were doing. She was praying for you.
Well, thank you so much. Prayer is so powerful.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for
that. You're welcome. So you just be yourself, and God will lead people to you for you to help. He will.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're a wonderful girl. I can hear it in your voice.
Thank you. Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Thanks for being there, and thanks for your prayers. And, folks, got lines open, 844-769-2944. The ones you prayed for tonight, this is a lady you prayed for a long time. You're hearing the results of your prayers, and you're hearing the power of God and the Holy Spirit through this young lady. And if you want to call and say anything to her, you please do so, 844-769-2944. And I know that a lot of people listen, they don't want to call in because they don't want to interrupt. But folks, you're not interrupting tonight. This is family talk right now. You're part of the family. You want to say something to Allie, you go ahead. So, Allie, I want you to tell us now, what in your heart do you feel is your goal with your life now?
My goal for life now is to live for Christ and to proclaim his name to the nations and share the good news of the gospel with everybody that I can, and just to be close to Christ and build his kingdom, because life on earth is so short and futile, but eternity with Christ is what matters. So just to tell everyone that I can about the good news of the gospel and that salvation is offered for all who believe and repent. So just to live for him and serve him in all that I do.
Well, since you've got home now, you've been home about a month now? Is that about right?
Almost,
okay. Have you run into any old friends and had a chance to testify to them?
No, I don't know that it's wise for me to seek those people out, but if the Lord leads me to run into them, then I will tell them about how my life has been changed through Christ, and I'm no longer interested in the same old things. So.
Very, very wise move. Very wise move. Yeah, don't need to get involved until our Father said you're strong enough. That's a very wise move, sweetheart. So how does this affect your out of your immediate family? How does this affect your cousins and your uncles and your aunts? And how's it affected them?
Right. Well, my relationship with them is also restored as well, and living life sober is so much more beautiful and rewarding. So I get to enjoy relationship with them, and I hope that for some of my family who don't necessarily believe, that my testimony can help to reveal to them the goodness of Christ. And then it also has just given a new feel to my relationship with my grandparents on my mom's side, and of course you guys, and it's just restored a lot of things and made so many things better. Christ has just healed so much in all of my family. So.
Have you found now you have a heart for those in your family and other people too? yeah, for those in your family that maybe need to know Christ, you have a desire to for them to know him, and you have a burning desire inside you to share him?
Oh, yes. It makes me emotional, but I want everyone to know the sweetness and the goodness of
Uh-oh.
Jesus.
I hear Keeper. Their dog name's Keeper, by the way, folks.
He's going crazy.
So you know what I'm saying then, because you have the Holy Spirit inside you telling you that this unction inside you to share Christ, his grace, his mercy, his love. You want to share that so bad sometimes it almost hurts, doesn't it?
Yes, I just want everyone to know, because not only does he offer eternal life and grace and salvation and mercy and forgiveness, but even in the here and now, I get to walk through life with sweet King Jesus, and he's just the best thing in the whole universe. So,
and how much sweeter has your life been? Now that you're actually living life, you're not going through it dead and blinded and sick. You're actually
right.
Living a life that Christ gave you. Now, how precious is that?
It's the most precious. Just walking life with Christ and getting to be in love with him, the only one who sees the darkest, innermost parts of me and never turns away and just holds my hand through it all and is there to comfort me and guide me and support me, and I get to spend time with him and he never leaves my side. It's just the sweetest thing, and he really is the best father in the whole world, and so tender and compassionate, but also so full of justice and mercy, and just he's just so perfect in all his ways. So I'm so blessed to share time with him.
And isn't it amazing how much more ability you have to love other people now, yourself?
Yes. Before, I really only loved myself and those who enabled my addiction and things like that, but now I get to love freely, and it's just the most rewarding thing in the whole world, and you really are alive. And that song, Amazing Grace, I was blind, but now I see, doesn't really make sense until you do see him, and it's like, oh my goodness, wow.
Amen.
Was blind, but now I see. So.
Amen. You know, it gives, and I some people probably think when they listen to me that I'm really off my rocker, but I love talking to people that I don't even know, waitresses or waiters in a restaurant. I like to talk to them, get to know them, you know, and let them see something inside me besides somebody wants to be waited on. And that's what Christ is in us. We want to show that love. You still there? Still there?
Yep.
Did we lose? Okay. Well, we love others, don't we?
Yep. Definitely. We've been forgiven in love as we have been loved, even though it's only an ounce of how we've been loved.
Amen. But it exudes out of you. You can't help it. You want to hug somebody, you know?
Yep.
Let's go to Daryl in PA. Daryl in Pennsylvania, come on in.
Hey, Pastor Butch and Allison. And first off, Pastor Butch, thanks for asking prayer for this old 74-year-old cripple who can hardly make it out to his keyboard and back to the bathroom area. But anyway, I praise the Lord that somehow God has kept me from falling. And I can hardly move, you know, with that right leg. And by the way, the testimony was one of the most beautiful testimonies that I ever heard. And so I have been praying for this young lady for a long time.
Yes, you have.
And you know, many times I asked you how she was doing.
Yes,
and
you
so,
did.
And I just think that her testimony is going to really resonate really well with the children that she's going to run into. So
Amen.
I hope that God blesses her ministry wonderfully, and that people will get the chaplains and clergy of the revolution from you and help support Call to Decision that way. And people, please pray for people like Allison and for Pastor Butch and Marcia Jean and the rest of their extended family, and right now, especially for Crystal and her family, to keep praying for them. So, again, thank you very much. Do you go mainly by Allie or Allison?
Either or is okay.
Okay, anyway, Allison, so wonderful to hear your testimony, and God bless you, and thank you so much for your testimony.
Yeah, thank you so much for all your prayers. I really appreciate it so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you so much. Allie, we're about out of time. We've got about 2-3 minutes left here. I'm going to let you wrap it up in a second, but I just want to tell you that for whatever it's worth, Mama and I are very thankful for you and proud of what you're doing right now, and we know it's all in Christ. We were thankful that you're allowing Him now to work through you, that you're going to touch so many souls. And folks, tomorrow, if you have any questions about this testimony, if you want to talk to me about something like this, or you want to get in touch with Allison, I'm sure she won't mind, you call us tomorrow in the office. Love to talk to you, and she would too. You can call us in office tomorrow at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. We want to hear your testimony, maybe two, if you have any needy help, let us know. Now, Allie, we're down about the last minute and a half. What do you want to say to the folks?
Just that I think often a perception of God that can be had is that He's far off and distant, and that's just not the case. He's the most intimate and best Father once you choose to accept and believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and that forgiveness is for all. There's no sin too bad. There's nothing that's unforgivable by Christ, and He just has such abundant love for all of creation. So just let Him in, and He'll do amazing things, and He's also the best relationship that you'll ever get to experience for all of eternity. So.
And you know, a relationship with Him makes a relationship with everybody else even more special, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
It does. It certainly does. And I can't wait to see you sometime in the very near future. And maybe we can sit down and talk a little bit about the Lord. Maybe we can take a ride together on our side by side, spend time in the woods talking about good things. I'm looking forward to that very much with you. I really am.
Me too, Papa.
I truly am. I love that word, Papa. I still remember the first time you said it to me. I haven't forgotten.
Oh, I love you.
I love you too, honey. And let's keep in touch, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. God bless you, darling. Now, you do keep in touch with me. Let me know what's going on from time to time.
All right. Yes, sir. I love you so much.
Love you, too. You tell the rest of your family I like them a little bit, okay?
All right. I'll let them know.
All right, honey. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us tonight. God bless, sweetheart. All right, folks. There you go. You heard the testimony. I don't know what else we can say or do. What a beautiful testimony. What a powerful young lady to give it out. And if you've known her before, you realize how much she's matured. Her wisdom is, she's blossomed in wisdom and intelligence. The Holy Ghost will make you more intelligent. You'll do things where you won't believe. You just trust the Holy Spirit and trust Christ. I'll see you in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. Love to see you there. God bless you all. Good night.
Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.